Good evening. Before we begin, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Tonight, I have a specific purpose. And that is to remind each of you of how important you are. You holy sons of God, you holy daughters of God. I don't mean important in an egotistical way. I mean important in terms of real value. You're not orphans. You're not just human beings. You are holy sons and daughters of God. And your being has capital M meaning. Your existence means something to everything and everyone. Sometimes you forget this. Sometimes you think you're just a little pissant mortal, a nothing, a nobody. But it's just a belief. It's not the truth. It's what you may have convinced yourselves of, but you have convinced yourselves of an illusion. Now, we've talked before about the fact that there are no private thoughts. There is no private anything. God is infinite. God is omnipresent. Therefore, mind, the infinite mind that God is omnipresent. Infinite. That's why there's nothing private. And everything in the mind of God, which is creation, which is ever unfolding, is related to everything else, you might say, in the infinite mind of God, in the omnipresence, the all-oneness of mind. Infinite variety, but all one. Infinite variety, but all equally related and involved and meaningful to every other part. There simply is no privacy. Nothing separated off. Hey, we have been talking for a number of years as we've been going through the course about the fact that everybody thinks they've gotten a divorce from the Father and that they are independent agents, but it just ain't so. And coming out of that belief is what waking up is about. It's what the course is about. It's what your purpose is at the present time. Now, why am I saying this? Because on the world scene right now, in the last 2 days, there is a situation or a circumstance or a set of circumstances that are going on and evolving and developing and growing and becoming more confused and on and on. And you know what? If any of you are sitting watching the television hour after hour or for any length of time and watching the disaster, as it's called, the tragedy, as it's called, the whatever words are being used to describe it, you will find your belief in the allness of God to be challenged. You will find your confidence that God is all and that God is omnipotent. You will find that challenged, and you will find yourself depressed. And you know what? There are no private thoughts. Important point. Watch what you're letting your mind be used for, and watch what meanings it's giving everything. Because it isn't just your puny little private thought in the privacy of your living room or your kitchen or wherever you might have a TV to watch or the radio to listen to. Now, another thing that we've learned as we've gone through the course is that you cannot witness for yourself, that you must witness for your brother, and your brother must witness for you. Another very important point. Now, those in Japan who are experiencing the brunt of the earthquake and the tsunami are, by virtue of the total disruption of their daily lives, finding their confidence challenged. They find themselves called upon to have faith and hope when everything says it's hopeless. And they're not able to witness well for themselves. I do not mean that in any demeaning way. I am acknowledging that there is a call for healing, that there is a call for love that is being felt by everyone there. There is a call for every single one of you who studies the Course to bear witness for your brother and sister. It's your job to remember what it's hard for them to remember under the circumstances. What? Our home is gone. My grandparents, we don't know if they're still alive. One of my children, I think, is all right, but I don't know for sure. My husband is out looking for them, and he's been gone for the last day. I don't know what might have happened to him. There is no water, there is no food, there's no warmth. I'm alone. I'm alone in the emptiness of no routine, of no regularity, of no ability to turn on the faucet and have water come out. And some of them don't even have a faucet to turn on anymore. Nothing dependable is occurring. Everything is up in the air. It's a lonely place to be. It's a lonely experience to have. But, you see, here's what I'm conveying tonight. Because there are no private thoughts, because there is no such thing as privacy in the middle of omnipresence, they are not alone. And you, knowing that your thoughts are not private, can use your mind in a way that witnesses for your brothers and sisters who find it difficult to witness for themselves on their best behalf. Oh, but I'm so far away, you know. Well, here, let's make you feel a little bit closer, perhaps. We receive letters from people in Japan. We receive support from people in Japan who enjoy the meetings we have and enjoy the website. And so we have what are usually exceptionally beautifully packaged envelopes, communications from people there, which gives us a feeling of connection that we might not otherwise have. Now, you know that I have held in my hands, and this is Paul speaking, that I have held in my hands things that people in Japan who love Raj have sent. And so I know I have a connection. And it's not as distant and remote as it otherwise would have been. And you now know that there are those who enjoy the work that is being done and support it and communicate with us. And so, you are joined. You all are joined in a real connection with people in Japan. And this is Raj. They are not remote from you. They are not different from you. And they need the right use of your mind to be practiced by you to witness for them so that they, because there are no private thoughts, might feel the presence of love that will inspire them, which will provide a feeling of connection for them when they seem to be in lonely isolation. Now, it's a shame that students of the Course are not more familiar with the practice of healing and the expectation of healing and how to be a participant, let's say, an effective agent for change with respect to healing. And, you know, the greatest thing you can do relative to the healing of a situation is to have arrived at a place in you where you have been enlightened, you have been infilled with an awareness that healing is possible. It's not irrelevant to awakening. And that it is the will of the Father for perfection, the perfection of His creation, to be the only thing experienced by all of His creation. And therefore, that you can hold a position of facilitation in healing. Now, the simple fact is that the misunderstanding, the false belief that is embodied in the dynamics in Japan right now, the false belief is that there is something called matter. Now, we've talked before about the fact. I've gone to some length to illuminate the idea that what you call matter is a misperception of spirit. Capital S, spirit. A God element, you might say. Spirit is the substance of God's creation. All of creation is made up of ideas of God's. God has an idea, and that idea includes everything within itself to be manifest and function perfectly. That doesn't seem to be the way matter works. Matter seems to work in an organic way, and one thing is dependent upon another thing, is dependent upon another thing, and on and on and on. And so if something goes wrong here, it detrimentally affects something there. All of you are familiar with that. in regard to your body, because you can seem to have a blockage in one place and it seems to cause a distress in another place, which causes deterioration somewhere else, and it complexifies and complicates itself until you eventually die because of it. When the simple fact is that the substance of your body is spirit, God stuff. And it is incapable of embodying anything not intended by the Father. Now, that conflicts with the general consensus about the world by science. But the fact is that healings occur. Healings occur daily around the globe. And when they occur, the seeming connection and detrimental responses of various aspects of the body suddenly stop having detrimental responses. The connection, the detrimental connection, stops. And for no apparent reason, the situation resolves itself. And it isn't, as I've said before, it isn't because matter has somehow been changed, forced to be different. It's because it never was matter, it always was spirit, and in the willingness to see a miracle, in the willingness to see everything stop functioning as though it were matter, the bondage that spirit has been held to by ignorance is released, and healing occurs. Now, you, through the proper use of your mind, can witness for your brothers and sisters in Japan or anywhere on behalf of radical healing. Everyone says, well, there was an earthquake, and then there was a tsunami, and the tsunami impacted the power plants, and the cooling of the power plants was damaged. And so now, see how things, one thing is impacting another, and it's building and it's getting more complicated and more detrimental. And now, there could be a meltdown which will make problems even worse. Now, are you going to sit and watch the TV and the radio and hear all of these things and not challenge these ideas in your mind? If you are, then you're in no position to be an agent for change, because you're not in a position to bring clarity to your brother and sister in Japan who lacks the clarity because of the shock of the events. And so you can't witness for your brother or sister outside of the problem, and you become part of the problem and confirm it, because once again, there are no private thoughts. Now, I promise you that whether you've been following what has happened and what is continuing to happen in Japan, you have felt the disturbance. You have felt the negativity, you felt the fear, and so on, whether it was overwhelming or whether it was just a mild undercurrent of uneasiness. And that's because there are no private thoughts. And you are not at a distance where you're untouched and unscathed by events that occur. Now, are you going to watch what is happening and become as upset as those who are in the middle of it and lose your capacity to witness for them on their behalf from outside the box, from outside the barrel, from the holy instant where, as we've been talking about, God's laws prevail? They're not usurped. They're not torn asunder. You have this wonderful opportunity to use your mind well, to use your mind for the function it has. What is your mind's function? It's to be co-creator with God. What does that mean? It means it's your mind's function to look at, observe, and experience creation and recognize it for what it is. And what it is not a material world and universe. It is creation itself, which you're miscalling physical world and universe. You're not recognizing God in it, because you're defining it as not of God. You're defining it as a material organism, a material set of functions that impinge upon and relate to each other, not always in constructive ways. You see? That's not recognizing God in everything. That's not being in the holy instant, where God's laws prevail, and where what God is being there can register with you so that you can look where you had seen a material world and universe and say, wow, this is incredible. This is awesome. This is God, and I see it. You see, the people who are homeless, who can't find water to drink, who are cold and can't get warmth, it's difficult for them to look at it all and, I'm going to say, see through it. See past it to the kingdom of heaven that is really going on right there. And it takes someone like you, all of you who call yourselves students of the Course, to use your mind the way the Course tells you it's there to be used, and to let it fulfill the function it has, which is to look and not be blinded by your definitions or the world's definitions, but have a willingness to see through those definitions and discover the awesomeness of God there. You know what? You think that the power plants are just physical. They're plaster, they're metal, they are uranium, they are elements. You think it's all matter. And because it's all matter, there are certain physical processes that matter can only go through. Well, you're wrong. And as a student of the Course, you need to begin to feel the wrongness of those kinds of assumptions so that you are not stymied in your mind against seeing God there. Because if there's a power plant there, don't be so sure it's matter. The only thing that can actually be there is spirit, fulfilling God's purpose, and being incapable of changing from that. The minute you stop saying with great conviction that there's nothing that can be done because there are certain atomic processes and certain physical processes and certain thermal processes going on that can't change, you need to look and say, wait a minute, if the substance of this is spirit, and if spirit is the substance of all that God is creating, then this substance must necessarily be functioning according to the laws of God, which prevail, because God is all, and which I can see the prevailing of if I will abandon my confidence. And I will abandon my definitions. And I will say, Father, what is the truth here, in spite of what I think the truth is, which is awful? What is the transforming truth? What is the truth that can appear as the reactor cooling for no obvious reason, and radiation not being released, and bodies that seem to be able to be damaged by radiation? None of it is matter having those kind of impinging, impactful negativities. All of it is spirit. And all of it can change in a twinkling of an eye, in a batting of an eyelid. You see? Now, I could suggest that for every minute you watch the TV and the news and see the images, I could suggest for that every minute that you do that, you take a full minute to meditate, or a full minute to get out the course, or a full minute to get out a hymnal, or a full minute to refresh yourself with the truth that you know is the truth. Well, if you're going to watch the TV for 2 hours, that means you've got to take 2 hours to meditate or read the course or immerse yourself in ideas that contradict what you've just seen so that you might be able to witness well for your brothers and sisters instead of joining them in the mire and the muck and the stuckness of it all. Do you have that kind of time? It would be well spent time. It would be time well spent. I would suggest that you watch or listen just to be kept abreast of the basics. But you know what? The media loves to have unknowns because they can fill up time with interesting, stimulating speculation that can keep you glued to something that is going to have no intelligent conclusion. So watch what you do, and don't get caught up in the what-ifs and the potentials, which can't be ruled out, and so they might as well fill up some airtime talking about them, and you take your time, waste your time, listening to the speculation that will lead nowhere, except perhaps to cause you to feel a little bit more like there isn't really a God. And when that happens in your mind, what's happened? You've forgotten your function. You've forgotten that you're the Holy Son or Daughter of God, and that you can be an agent for change, and that it's your function to be an agent for change. It's your glorious opportunity to look at a circumstance that seems most definite and irrevocably moving toward something awful and see it change. Now, I am going to say this. Do take time to realize that there are real, I'm going to say human beings, there are real brothers and sisters in Japan coping with unimaginably surprising deviations from the norm, who deserve peace of mind, who need peace of mind, who need to know that they are loved, to know that in spite of the fact that they seem quite isolated from the rest of the world and from help, they are not. You have the opportunity to be the presence of love that is felt. And if you're going to spend your time doing anything, do that before you watch the TV for hours and the images and listen to the rumble of the earthquake over and over and over and over and over and my God, the building's going to collapse. That sentence is going to be burned into your mind forever. Every time you turn on the TV, you're refreshing yourself with what? Not the truth that will heal, not the truth that will transform, not that which will allow you to witness on behalf of your brother and sister in a way that is transformational. It's my intent tonight to convey to you. Holy purpose. Holy purpose that we've been talking about embodying for a number of years. But tonight, we have holy purpose that you can't deny is needed, and which you can't help but feel the potential for your playing a part in. Play the part. Become involved. And if you are watching or listening to the news, be ready on the spot to contradict it. That's your job. Don't just be swept along by the horror of the events, or the fear, or the grief, and let a tear come to your eye. I understand that it's moving. But it's not your job there to cry. It's your job to be clear so that joy fills you and love fills you and compassion that has the capacity to recognize God in your brother and sister on that screen. You see? So that you're fulfilling your function as co-creator and seeing God right there. Now, I'm going to invite everyone to join all of us here for the next 5 minutes or so and join in recognizing the presence of the Father in every single brother and sister who's in this situation. I want you to let yourself be truly conscious that if there's anything there at all called a brother or sister, it has to be God appearing. Whether you're seeing that fact clearly or not, that in spite of your ignorance, the fullness and wholeness of God is what is there. And the same thing about the land that seems to have been devastated, and the destruction of the power plants. In other words, while we're having this quiet time, I want you to be willing to allow what appears to be devastated matter to reconfigure visually and actually so that it represents the kingdom of heaven that's going on right there, the presence of God that can be the only thing going on there if indeed God is omnipresent. And which everyone, you and everyone there, has the birthright to experience. And the other thing I want you to do, and I want you to do this, please, not just during the next 5 minutes, but ongoingly. I want you to imagine that you are able to be in front of and address someone in Japan, in this experience, and share with him or her the feelings you have on his or her behalf. What would you convey to them that would be transformational? What could you say that would be pacifying? What could you say that would be inspiring and give hope? Take the time to relate to these brothers and sisters that you don't even know in a compassionate way and put forth the effort it takes to put the words together that convey real caring because the caring is in you. You are the holy sons and daughters of God. You know what? I've been talking tonight about your witnessing for your brothers and sisters. What do you think I'm doing? What do you think I've been doing all these years? I'm witnessing for you. I'm providing a better picture, a better sense of who you are than your poor thought models allow. I'm witnessing on your behalf to you. I'm taking the time to put it in words that will mean something to you, so that you have a basis for shifting your anticipations, your expectations, and your confidences to something greater than what they embraced. Please, take this wonderful opportunity here to witness well for everyone there. And I ask you, for this next short period of time, not to turn off your computers, don't pick up a magazine, don't see what's going on around the room, close your eyes, and be the presence of love. And we will do it together. Okay. It's mid-afternoon there now. Night will fall. And the sun will come up. And everyone there will need the courage and the stamina to face what needs to be done and meet the need. Every one of you can easily be willing to stand with them as they unavoidably address the needs they're faced with and bring your clarity and bring your love and witness for them to the best in them, not just the best in them as a Japanese people who are very intelligent and have structured things so they can cope with this kind of tragedy well. No, bullshit. That's not love. Stand with them, witnessing for them, on the basis that they are also the holy sons and daughters of God, who are not orphans, in the sense that we've been using that word, and whose birthright it is to be able to see through the events that have happened and find, so to speak, behind them the presence of God and His creation in all of its unchanged perfection. That's what they need to know. That's what they need to feel. That's what you need to feel. And you don't need to feel what you have been feeling after hours and hours of watching and commiserating with the situation. So, wish to see the presence of love and wish to be the presence of love with as much persistence as those in the middle of the circumstances will be bringing to moving through it. And I promise you, the moving through it can occur much more quickly. Be part of what causes that to happen. I love you. And I look forward to being with you next week.